a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. They all shall obey His will. What a very, very fitting song before the lesson on this morning. The power of the all-powerful God. The power of the all-powerful God. I would like for us to think about the person or thing that has power. As that thought is running through my mind, I think of Brother Butch and that Corvette that he used to have. That little thing had some power, or it still has some power. He just don't have it anymore. That car you have, you're still working on it, but it has power. There's a lot of things, and his Cadillac got power too, by the way. I seen him storm out of here one day. But there's a lot of things and a lot of people that we think has power. I was helping someone the other day change a flat. And I tried to put the floor jack up under the car, and it wouldn't fit all the way. And I got up under the wheel well, and I began to lift up on it. And I heard someone in the background say, "What is he doing?" All I needed was a little bit. And I got that little bit. It took me two times to do it because the person that was assisting me didn't understand that when I lift, you push. I've been wondering why my shoulder's been hurting. Ah, that may be the reason. But power, sometimes we mix or mess up and think that there is something or somebody more powerful than God. We mess those things up. And as we mess them up and we try to help others out, they too are messed up. For the scriptures do teach us, if the blind lead the blind, both will fall in the ditch. Brother Simmons mentioned this morning about Satan. Some people, give Satan more power, say he has more power than God. No, Satan does not have more power than God. God is the all-powerful one. The Bible teaches us in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 32 verse 17. O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. By your great power. Nothing, listen to me, nothing, Jeremiah says, is too hard for you. Now, I believe that as Jeremiah is making this statement, there are people today that think that there are some things that are too hard for God. Let me tell you why they think that. I'm not in their minds. I'm not in their heads. I really don't know, but let me tell you why I think they think that. Because they haven't given God a try. They have not tried Him. They have not asked Him for things. They have not looked at the glory that we see, the things in which God has created. That's why people think that there are some things that are too hard for God. Our God is all powerful. That's what we're really talking about this morning. All powerful. All He had to do was speak, and things came into existence. He didn't have to go to the chart and say, "Man, I wonder, do I need to do it this way? Do I need to do it that way? Do I need a trial basis?" In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let there be what? Light. And guess what happened? By the power of God, there was light. How many of you can do that? Yeah, he come up with this little thing. A crapper. But you know what? In order for that clapper to work, there had to be some electricity going into that socket. And there has to be a light bulb in that socket in order for that clapper to hear that sound and for that light to come on. But God spoke everything into existence. Whoa, 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 wait, wait, wait. But he formed out the dust of the ground, man. Well, can any of you do that? Can any of you take the rib of a man and make a woman? That's the power of God. Now, for the person that don't believe this, the Bible says that that man is a what? A fool. Because the fool says in his heart that there is no God. You need to believe that there's a God in order to understand the power of God. Let's go back to the book of Psalm, chapter 33, verses 6 through 9 once again. Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. Again, all we're going to look at this morning, we're going to look at the power of God. Because we need to understand, because God is all powerful. And we're going to come back to that one. Hope I got these in order. There we go. We'll come back to that Genesis 17:1 in just a minute, because we need to understand that. But in Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9, it says again, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. By what? The word of the Lord. Now, we tell people, we have told people something to do, and people have followed the direction in which we have given them. But there's not one of us that can speak anything into existence. Be careful what you say, because it's going to come to pass. Don't say that out loud. Say whatever you want to say. Doesn't matter. But when God says something, you can rest assured that it is going to happen. Or it has already happened. Why? Because he is God. He is all powerful. Let's continue. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. That's God. All powerful God. He spoke. He commanded. Things came into existence. Let us stand in awe of him. I praise you, O God, for what you have done. I praise you, O God, for what you are doing. I praise you, O God, for what you will do. He is God, and he deserves our praise. He deserves our praise. No one needs to praise us. We need to praise him, because he is our creator. Going back to Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Genesis 17, verse 1. The difference between these two in this verse here, Abram and God. It says that when Abram was 99 years old, well, God has no age. Let's remember that. So, Abram being 99 years old said, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. He's the Almighty. As he talks to Abram, he tells him who he is. The question I want to ask you this morning, do you know who God is? Do you know that he is almighty? Do you know that he's the great I am? Do you know he's the creator of all things? Do you know he's the only one that's all powerful? God. Not man, but God. And when if you don't know, when you do know, you need to start following him. So when we find out who God is, we want to be obedient unto him. Children of Israel had a problem. Their problem was that they kept forgetting about the power of God. And as they kept forgetting about the power of God, you know what God did? God kept demonstrating His power unto them. Look. He wasn't saying, look what I can do. He said, let me show you what I can do. Because I am all powerful. He has power to deliver. In the book of Exodus chapter 13, we find that when the children were in bondage within Pharaoh had them in bondage. He gave Moses the message telling them, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Let my people go. And the Bible tells us as we read through the courses of what went on with Pharaoh and him telling them to let my people go, the power of God. The Bible talks about Pharaoh's heart being hardened. But it also says this in Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. Then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, by the strong hand of the Lord, brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. The power of God, by the strong hand of God. You ever, you know, shook someone's hand, they was much bigger than you. Say, man, he has a firm grip. He has a power. I hate to Indian wrestle him. That man's power does not even touch the power of the hand of God. And we find as we continue in the book of Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, and we'll start with verse 10. Because again, the people were going to see the power of God. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, it is because of us. It is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Well, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not. Stand firm and set the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. Fear not. God is getting ready to do something. And when God gets ready to do something, He is going to do it. Nothing or nobody can stop Him because He is all powerful. It says, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. If you had an enemy, and many of us do have enemies, what if someone told you, you don't have to worry about seeing them again? What do you think they're going to do? That person that gives you this promise, what do you think they're going to do to your enemy? Oh, they finna take him and drop him off somewhere. You want me to handle him for you? I take care of him. You don't have to never worry about him again. There are some dogs that people have had in their lives, and they have said, you know, that dog is a menace to me. He's tearing up stuff. You need to get rid of that dog. I was the man. Called me. I can get rid of your dog for you real quick. I take him off somewhere. And sometimes if you don't take him far enough, that dog is going to come back home. But as God said here, as Moses was telling them, God is going to take care of them. You're not going to see them no more after today. You know what God meant? He meant that you would never see them again. He meant that. In certain cases, when I took that dog off, you best believe that dog did not come back. But that power that I had was limited. It was limited. Y'all can go call the man if you want to. That's way gone. But that power is limited. But God's power is not limited. The Lord will fight for you. And you will, and you have only to do what? Be silent. Shh, don't say nothing. God, you know, you hear people say, I got this. God had that. He had that, you know. Your friends tell you, I got your back. You don't have anything to worry about. I don't need you behind me. I need you in front of me. But you know where God was? God was in front of them. But you know where God moved to? God moved behind. Not them, but He moved behind the Egyptians. Why? Because He was getting ready to part the waters. How many of you can part waters? Can anybody here part waters? Can anybody in here, you know, make the walls of a sea stand apart and allow you to walk across on dry ground? Can any of you in here do that? Do you know of any man that can do that? Do you know of these people that said, I have power that can do what God has done? Do you know of anybody like that? I don't know of anybody. I've seen some movies, but that's all it was a movie. The Bible says in verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Go forward. Well, where are we going? Just go forward. Listen to the voice of God. Go forward. Has he ever told us in his word anywhere that we should turn around and go backwards? No, he has not. He tells us we need to repent. In our minds, we need to repent of the things in which we have done, and we need to move forward. He said, tell the people to go forward. And he said, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all the hosts, his chariots and his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen, and the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. God is doing something right here. He is doing what he said he would do. He is getting to the point here where he's preparing the Egyptians and his children never to see one another again. The story, the rest of it is that the Egyptians went through and stopped in the middle of the Red Sea. The children of Israel, they went through over to the other side because of the power of God. And the children of the Egyptians, the waters closed on them and they were drowned. I want us to understand the power of God. It is not limited. God can do whatever he says he is going to do. God has done whatever he wanted to do. There are certain things that God can't do. God cannot lie. Amen. God does not participate in evil. Anything that is not right, God has nothing to do with it. Oh, you hear those comedians, I give God all the glory for all that I have done. God don't want that glory. That doesn't belong to him. That's something that you have done. Something that you have seen fit to do. You've done that because, yes, God allowed you to wake up that morning. But he has nothing to do with the nonsense in which men participate in today. He's protecting his people, and he wants them to know and understand that he has all power. But something, somewhere down the line, is not allowing us to understand the power of God. In the book of Job, chapter 38, when you read down from verses 1 through 11, and it talks about the things in which Job were going through and all these others, but it says here that what he has done is beyond our understanding. It was beyond Job's understanding. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there are some things that go on in this life that are above our understanding? If you don't believe them, you need to start believing them. Job chapter 38, verse 1 through 11. Job 38, verses 1 through 11. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now listen to these questions. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you will make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with the doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds in garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come and no farther. And here shall your proud waves be stayed. Who did these things? Where were you when they were done? Do you understand? Do you understand? Oh yeah, we can push a button and we can make waves in a pool of water. But can we make waves on the sea? Can we do that? Or when those waves are made on the sea, can we say, peace, be still? Can we do that? No. We don't have that power. God alone has that power. We don't understand, but we know it happens. Oh, we're going out for a boat ride today. Oh, it's a beautiful day. All right, let's go. Get out there and you're riding that boat and all of a sudden a storm comes in. Where did the storm come from? Do you know? By the power of God, that storm came. And only by the power of God would that storm move on. Let us do what we're supposed to and understand the power of God. Psalm 29, verses 3 through 9. Psalm 29, verses 3 through 9. Oh, we can tell a baby to be quiet. But you know, that baby will cry and cry and cry. Or we can discipline that child and we can tell that child, you need to do better. But that child sometimes will do worse and worse. But when God says it, it's going to be done. It's going to be done. Psalm 29, verses 3 through 9. And the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars in Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirlon like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. The strips of the forest bare, and in his temple all cry glory. All cry glory. Have you ever just stopped and looked at what God has created and how these things that God has created, how beautiful they are? Have you ever laid down at night and a storm is coming in and you hear the thunder roar? Or you see the flash of lightning come through the blinds and you say, man, the power of God, isn't it great? I was sitting at the table just the other day and I heard some thunder and the thunder was like I never heard before. It was like something is messed up somewhere. But you know what I said? That's God. It can be a long roaring thunder or it can be a short broken up thunder. But it is still the power of God. Because we can't make it thunder. We cannot make it lightning. We cannot allow or tell it's time to rain and it rains. We can't do that. Yes, Elijah prayed that it would rain or that it would not rain and it did not. Then he prayed that it would rain and it did. But he did not make it rain. He prayed to the one that could, and that was God, because God holds that power. The power of resurrection. The power of resurrection. These people that proclaim to be faith healers. Let's take them down to the graveyard. Let's see how many they can resurrect. How many of you think is going to come out of the graves? Oh, we need to call someone, and we need to have this grave dug up, and we need to have this person come out. You know, God doesn't need anybody to dig the grave up. He doesn't need that. Because in the very end, when all are resurrected, you can rest assured all will be resurrected. Those graves are going to have to give up their dead. That's what the Bible teaches us. Now, if you don't believe in God's word, then you don't believe in what I'm saying. But let's believe that His resurrection power is great. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Let's start with verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love toward all saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remember you in prayers, that the God of what? Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge in Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glory, inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward you, toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worketh in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Now, when that rock was rolled away from the tomb, did Christ raise at that time? Is that when Christ raised? No, that's not when He was raised. He was already gone from that tomb. The power of God does not, a rock cannot keep Him from serving or doing His purpose. A grave cannot keep Him from doing what He says He will do. I will destroy this temple in 3 days. I will destroy this temple, but in 3 days I will raise it again. That's God. We can't do that. But God can do it, and God did it. We're looking forward to that great resurrection. That great day when we are all called by God, when the graves will give up their dead. No matter whether you've done bad or whether or not you've done good, the graves will give you up and you will be judged according to what you have done. Let's know that the power of God is real. And there's no way to escape it. Last week we talked about the presence of God, how Him being present everywhere. We cannot escape Him. He is all powerful. He can get anywhere you are trying to go. He's already there because of His power. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, as I was looking at this, I was thinking of the hymn that we sing from time to time, especially as little children. He's got the whole world in His hand. That's God. We can't even barely hold our own household in our hands. But God has the whole world in His hand. His word sustains everything. Not some things, but everything. Let's start with verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago and in many times and many ways, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He created the world. He is the radiance of glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power and making purification for sins. He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. His word by the word of His power. We started out with the word of God. He spoke everything into existence. We can't end without the word of God, because we have to listen to what Jesus Christ has said, and we have to be obedient to those things in order to appreciate the power of God. He has power over death. He has power over death. Amen. I believe that when we start talking about He has power over death, many times we look at this and we're like, man, what? I really don't have to die. God is gonna allow me to live a little bit longer. I can live on this earth for the rest of my life, or for the rest of eternity. No, you can't. You can't. We read in Scripture that the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. But God has power over death. Verse 17 in the book of Revelation chapter 1. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades." Jesus is saying right here, I have overcome death. Why? In order for you and I to live to his purpose, not our own. That's what we need to understand. We start talking about he has power over death. You know, there are a lot of times where we pray for people that, you know, hey, Lord, extend their lives longer. Lord, let them stay here just a little bit longer. You know, in some cases, when we pray a prayer like that, we're sometimes selfish because we don't want to let go. Jesus' disciples didn't want to let go, but Jesus had to die in order for you and I to live. He did that. He died, but yet he was resurrected. And as he was resurrected, the Bible says he ascended into heaven to sit up on the right hand of the Father. That's power. That is power. We can't do it, but we can look at the Scriptures and we can learn why he did those things. The Bible tells us in the book of Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. We talked a little bit about Daniel this morning, how King Nebuchadnezzar made that God, and at the sound of all of those instruments, that everybody would bow down and worship that God that he had created. That he had created. Not the God, but the God that he had created. But we find this in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. Let's read verse 34. It come down at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For dominion is an everlasting dominion. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. Verse 35, and inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, "What have you done? What have you done?" Now, I know that from time to time we forget that he is God, but yet we don't forget that because we're blaming him for some things. Why, God? Why? The question we should be asking is, why not? Why not? Who can question him? God, why did you make me the way you made me? God, why did you allow these things to happen in my life? Why this? Why that? He is God. No one has the right to question anything that God has done. He asked the questions, and we cannot give the answers. He is God. Let us accept what he has done. Because God is all powerful, guess what we have? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We have the ability to read the Scriptures. We have the ability to understand what we read. And we have the ability to hear his word. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But let us think about all of these things in which we have just talked about and say, what does it have to do with me? What does it have to do with me? Paul says that he's not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you believe this morning? Do you believe that God is all powerful? Do you believe that He has made salvation available for you? If you believe that, accept it. Do something about it if you have not come to the cross, if you have not come to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do that this morning, because tomorrow is not yours. Has not been promised to either one of us. Yes, man can tell us, oh, you have X, Y, Z time to live, but man does not know. God says, your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. Oh, I hear somebody already said, no, God didn't say it, James said it. James is saying what the Holy Spirit told him to say. The Holy Spirit said what God told him to say. Let us understand that our lives are in the hands of God. Let us do what is right. And maybe there's someone here that has come to God and realized that, hey, I'm a child of God and there's nothing I need to do in order to be pleasing to Him, because I'm already His. Yes, you do. You have to be obedient. You have to be obedient. There's so many that are not obedient. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We look at verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1. We look at verse 5. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So when we think about he has power to keep the saved. That means that the saved are looking in His Word and they're being obedient. Saying, I know that one day I am going to die, and after that I know I'm going to be judged, so I need to stay faithful unto Him. Stay faithful unto Him. It's hard to be faithful if you're not a child of God. It's hard to be faithful if you are a child of God and you're hanging out with the world more than you're hanging out with God's people. What are you doing this morning? Do you realize the power of God? He has revealed Himself as the Almighty God. He tells us that He has created everything just by the word in which He has spoken. Everything should give glory unto Him. Do we realize this? He's all powerful. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. See, He's even extended that power unto His Son, not just to His Son, but unto His Son's blood. He's extended that power. We can be saved if we do what God tells us to do. So if you're here this morning, you're not a child of God and you want to become one, we ask that you come to make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins remitted in the watery grave of baptism. Coming out of that watery grave to walk a newness of life according to Romans chapter 6. Doing what is right. Added to the body according to the scriptures. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If you're here this morning, you're subject to an invitation. We ask you to please come as we stand and sing.